Talk, talk to me.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur Magazine Legal Show with your host, Garrett Sutton.
Greetings, entrepreneurs, business owners, investors, and wealth builders. You are tuned in to the award-winning Entrepreneur Magazine Legal Show. I'm your host, Garrett Sutton, and I'd like to thank you for listening in. We have an excellent show today. You'll want to stay tuned for this important topic. And feel free to call in. We are live Tuesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Time. You can call the studio toll-free at 888-327-0061. That's 888-327-0061 and ask your questions. And you'll want to ask tax-saving questions of our first guest. How many of you are aware that the IRS allows you to sell real estate without paying taxes? That sounds too good to be true, but it is true. Using a special section of the IRS code, you can exchange properties tax-free. Joining us today is Gary Gorman, the author of Exchanging Up, How to Build a Real Estate Empire Without Paying Taxes Using 1031 Exchanges, to talk about this incredible wealth-building strategy. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, Garrett. Thank you. How are you?
Good. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, especially since you just came out with this excellent book on how to use 1031 exchanges. I know a lot of our listeners are going to want to get this book as a crucial part of their investment library, because this is basically one of the best strategies the IRS allows real estate investors to take. So why don't you explain a little bit about the 1031 exchange?
Well, what a 1031 exchange does is it rolls the gain from your old property over to your new. And it rolls that gain tax-free, provided that you do certain things.
All right. So what do you have to do in order to get the tax-free treatment?
Well, there's six things that you have to do. And the first of those is that both the old property you're selling and the new property you're buying have to be held for investment.
Okay. So you can't use your personal residence for this.
No, there's a different code section that covers that. So this just deals with investment property.
Okay.
So, and the gain rolls over. And it used to be, Garrett, that if you sold a purple duplex, you would have to buy another purple duplex. Well, that's not the case anymore. You can buy any other kind of investment property. You can buy an office building or an apartment building or even bare land.
All right. And so help me understand, 1031 exchange, is that a law? Is it an IRS code section? What is it?
Yeah, it's a code section. It's section 1031, which is why they call it 1031 exchange.
All right. And that's the name of your company, correct?
Yeah, we're the 1031 exchange experts.
Great. Okay, so this is an IRS code section that allows these tax-saving strategies.
Right.
Okay, we have the first element. What's the second element you have to follow?
The second element is from the day you close the sale of your old property, your purple duplex. You have 45 days to come up with a list of properties you want to buy, and you typically put three properties or less on that list. That's call that your wish list.
Okay.
Okay. Rule number three is, again, from the day of closing, you have 180 days in which to close the purchase of whatever you're going to buy. And whatever you buy as your replacement property has to be on that 45-day list.
Okay. Now, what happens if you don't get the properties together by 45 days or you don't close within 180 days? What are the consequences?
Well, your exchange is toast. You have to pay tax.
All right.
And the 45 and the 180 days are cast in concrete. There are no extensions.
Okay. So you have these are crucial elements to follow in order to get this tax-free status.
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right. What is the fourth element then?
The fourth element is that you cannot touch the money in between the sale of your old purple duplex and the purchase of your new property. By law, you have to have an independent third party called a qualified intermediary, handle your exchange and hold that money. And you have to be really careful about that. There's been some recent court cases. There's been some defalcations with that money.
Okay. So basically it involves getting a company like yours involved to be the intermediary.
Exactly. Exactly. There are companies out there that do this for a living like our company.
And how expensive is it to arrange for an intermediary?
In most cases, in most parts of the country, your exchange is going to run you about $750. In some cases, if you have a really complicated transaction with lots of pieces and lots of partners, for example, it can be more, but probably 95% of the transactions out there run about $750 total for the exchange, which really isn't a lot of money if you figure that most exchanges, you know, if your gain is even $10,000, your tax is going to run you $3,000, maybe $3,500, depending on where you live.
Well, and in you know, real estate as it is now, if the gain is $100,000, you're talking
sure.
about saving tens of thousands of dollars versus the cost of $750 for the intermediary.
Oh, exactly. And in this day and age, in this country, $100,000 is not a big gain. You know,
right.
you don't very often see $10,000 gains. You don't see a lot of $100,000 gains up there anymore either.
Right. All right, Gary, what would be the fifth element you need to follow?
The fifth element is that however you hold title to your old property, the Purple Duplex, is how you have to take title to your new property.
Okay.
So if you hold title, let's say, as Garrett Sutton, you could not take title to the new property as Sutton Investment Corporation, for
okay.
example. Have to be the same taxpayer, same tax ID number.
All right.
The new property.
Now, what if you hold property in an LLC, as so many investors do nowadays?
LLCs can do 1031 exchanges, as can corporations and partnerships and trusts.
All right. It just has to end up in the same LLC.
Yes. The same okay. tax ID number. Exactly.
Okay. Great. All right. And the sixth element, then?
The sixth element is a little more complicated, so let's go through it kind of in detail, and I'll give you some examples.
All right.
The sixth element says that in order to pay zero tax, no tax, you have to do two things. First of all, you have to buy equal or up. So if you sold your Purple Duplex for $100,000, you have to buy your new property for $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you bought it for less, let's say you bought the new property for $90,000, that doesn't toast your exchange, Garrett. You just pay tax on the $10,000 buy-down.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Well, this is great information, Gary. And when we return, I want to run through the six elements again, and then let's talk about how you hold the money in the separate accounts, because that's an important element of all of this.
Okay.
You're listening to the Entrepreneur Legal Show. We'll be right back with Gary Gorman, 1031 exchange expert.
Talk to me.
Welcome back to the Entrepreneur Magazine Legal Show with your host, Garrett Sutton.
Welcome back to the Entrepreneur Magazine Legal Show. I'm your host, Garrett Sutton. We are live Tuesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Feel free to call toll-free and ask a question of our guest, Gary Gorman. The toll-free number is 888-327-0061. Gary is the author of the new book, Exchanging Up, How to Build a Real Estate Empire Without Paying Taxes, using 1031 exchanges. This is a great book. It's available at SuccessDNA. And Gary, thanks again for joining us.
Well, thank you, Gary.
All right, let's run through the six elements, and then we have a caller. But let's run through the six elements real quick, and then we'll take Johnny's call.
Okay. The first of the six is that both the old property you're selling and the new property you're buying have to be held for investment.
Okay.
The second is that from the day you close the sale of your old property, you have to provide a list of typically three properties or less that you might want to buy as your replacement property. The third is that, again, from the day of closing, you have exactly 180 days or less in which to close the purchase of whatever you're going to buy, and whatever you buy has to be on that 45-day list. And the 45 and the 180 days run concurrently, which
right.
means that when your 45 days are up, you have 135 days left.
Okay.
And there's no extensions. It's calendar days. So if it falls on a Saturday or a Sunday or a holiday like the 4th of July, that's the day.
All right.
Okay?
Good.
Rule number four is that you cannot touch the money in between the sale of your old property and the purchase of your new. By law, you have to use the services of an independent third party called a qualified intermediary.
All right.
Rule number five says that however you hold title to the old property is how you have to take title to the new. And rule number six says that in order to pay zero tax, you have to buy equal or up, and you have to roll all of the cash from the old property over to the new purchase.
All right, well, those seem easy enough to follow, but I'm sure there's some traps for the unwary, which is why you wrote the book.
Oh, sure.
But I would like to welcome to the show Gianni from Mill Valley, California. Gianni, thank you for calling in.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
Good, good.
All right, Gianni, what's your question for Gary Gorman here?
My question is, I have attempted on exchange, which I'm thinking to exchange to a leasehold for a restaurant that I like to own. And I did talk to an exchange company, which has said that if you do have a lease for 30 years or more, you can do that, which is okay. But my question is, can I still do that if I have an interest in that, let's call entity, which probably is an LP that I'm buying in? Can I still do that? Not unclear.
Johnny, what is the entity, the LP, that you have an interest in? What is it going to do? Is it going to hold the lease?
Yes.
Or is it going to sublease from you?
It's going to hold the lease.
Okay. The tax ID number of the property, that of the owner of the property that you're selling, has to be the same as the tax ID number of the property you're buying. And so from your question, I'm guessing that the LP does not own the
Correct.
Old property. And so, no, you wouldn't be able to do that. But what you could do, Johnny, is that you could acquire the lease. And for the listeners, leases of 30 years or more are considered real estate. So Johnny could sell his purple duplex, and he could buy a lease on a piece of property as long as that lease extended for at least 30 years from when he bought it. So you could do that, Johnny, and then you could turn around and sublease that property to the LP that you have an ownership interest in.
Okay, so in other words, I need to go back to this landlord, which has a lease with the LP, and transfer to me. To my 1031 exchange lease, and then I will lease back to the LP. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And when you do that, make the terms of the lease different, so they're not exactly identical. Okay. Do you know what I mean by that?
Not exactly.
However much you're paying for the lease, make sure that the LP tenant that you sublease to pays you a different amount So,
in other words, perhaps a little more just to benefit
exactly.
Gianni's LLC.
Exactly. Okay. A little bit more, and you want the terms on the sublease to be less number of years than the terms that you have with the landlord.
Okay. It's that by law I have to, I mean, or just by my interest to increase the rent to them?
Well, there's some cases on the books, Johnny, that say that if your sublease exactly mirrors your lease, then the IRS will consider the tenant, the LP, to be the actual owner, which violates the rule that it has to be the
tenant.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right.
Okay,
well, thank you very much for the answer.
Well, thank you for your call, Gianni. Great information, Gary. Let me ask you one question before we get into the separate account issue. How can you take cash out of an exchange?
Well, remember rule number 4 says you cannot touch the money in between the sale of the old and the purchase of the new.
All right.
So if you refinance your old property right before the sale, then the IRS is going to say that you touched the money. So what you want to do is you want to leave the money in there, roll it over, and use it to buy the new property. And the IRS says that once you acquire the new property, you have to wait 1 nanosecond. True story. Okay? I mean, that's their words. One
really?
Nanosecond. Exactly.
Huh.
Before you can pull the money out.
That's pretty quick.
So what that means is don't touch it on the sale of the old property. Wait till you buy the new property and then take it.
Okay, great information. Well, let's talk about this separate account issue.
Yeah.
What are the concerns there?
Well, remember, rule number 4, you have to have an intermediary, an independent third party, handle the exchange and hold the money. And intermediaries are not licensed by any of the states. So just like you, Garrett, you have a law license. Intermediaries don't have to do any of that.
Okay.
And so a convicted felon can be an intermediary.
Oh.
So, yeah, you have to be very careful. Now, intermediaries hold your money in one of two ways. About 95% of them, as far as we can tell, hold the money in what's called a commingled account, okay, where they put everybody's money together. About,
which is probably a source of problems.
Oh, no kidding. Last year, there were 3, I'm going to call them defalcations, where the intermediary took the money. And they all involved commingled accounts.
Mm-hmm.
We've had one big defalcation this year, again, involving a commingled account. And there's been a few in the distant past, again, involving commingled accounts.
Great.
So
well,
make sure your money's in a separate account.
Great. Gary, there's so much information, we're going to have you back on the show. Gary, what's your website address for people to access?
It's expert1031.com. EXPERT1031.com.
Great, and we'll be right back.